welcome to another AH podcast with Mia Young,
Alex Alvin,
Ian Roy,
Sophia Papp,
and Anya Peters.
Today we're going to be reading a poem by Henry Vaughan titled The Retreat. Happy those early days, when I shined in my angel infancy. Before I understood this place, appointed for my second race, or taught my soul to fancy aught, but a white celestial thought. But when yet I had not walked above a mile or two from my first love, and looking back at that short space, could see a glimpse of his bright face. When on some gilded cloud or flower, my gazing soul would dwell an hour, and in those weaker glories spy some shadows of eternity. Before I taught my tongue to wound my conscience with a sinful sound, or had the black art to dispense a several sin to every sense, but fell all through this fleshly dress, bright shoes of everlastingness, oh, how I longed to travel back and tread that ancient track, that I might once more reach that plain where first I left my glorious train, from whence the enlightened spirit sees that shadowed city of palm trees. But ah, my soul with too much stay is drunk and staggers in the way. Some men of forward motion love, but I by backward steps would move, and when this dust falls to the urn, in that state I came, return.
I don't know what that is.
So, based on the poem's reading and its general themes, mm-hmm. Our guiding question is, how does Vaughan draw a contrast between adulthood and childhood, and what does that contrast reveal about the speaker's inner conflict and the themes of this poem?
Well, he starts off by comparing his infancy to that of an angel.
Yeah.
Kind of the purity, kind of the heaven-like, I don't know, the wonder that comes in with a child.
And just, like, the happiness, like, happy those early days. Like, mm-hmm. Immediately it starts out super positive.
Yeah.
Before I understood this place, like, I'm assuming place means, like, earth, the world, the reality. Society. Yeah,
and he talks about the transition in line 4, appointed for my second race, and it tells us race is a traditional Christian metaphor for life. By second race, Vaughan evidently alludes to a belief in the soul heavenly existence prior to its human life.
Yeah, so it seems like that's just, like, infancy. I was looking to try and pinpoint when in the poem we can see, like,
the transition. Mm-hmm. I definitely think it's more, like, when he starts, I think it's, like, 21, where it's, like, oh, how I long to travel back.
Yeah.
Like, kind of, like, just, like, reminiscing on, like, mm-hmm. the older days, like, when you were just happier, a little kid kind of thing. But, like, now, like, when you enter adulthood, like... Mm-hmm.
I mean, I see another, like, line 15, it says, before I taught my tongue to wound my conscience with a sinful sound. That sounds like there's the first solution to sin and wound.
Yeah.
And
I think
those lines are interesting because line 15 ends with the word wound and line 16 ends with the word sound. And based on the way wound wound, they would rhyme. If it was wound, my conscience with the sinful sound.
So it's kind of like...
I wonder if you... I think I read it wound because it made sense. You could... hurt yourself with a sinful sound. That would make sense if it's sinful. Like, but I suppose maybe it was supposed to be wound as in
speed. Like wound something up.
Maybe. Yeah.
I think
to wind a conscious, I suppose, could be it.
Yeah, the lines that you pointed out, 15 and 16, those correlate again over in lines 27 mm-hmm. or 25 and 27 or 26 and 27. But ah, my soul with too much stay is drunk and staggers in the way. So it's kind of saying, like, after this glorious, like, nice childhood, his older self, his more drunken self, more experienced self, it gets in the way of...
You think his happiness?
Something. Yeah. Maybe. Possibly.
Yeah, there's a lot of reminiscence in this poem.
For sure.
He clearly states that one, even in, like, the last line. He said, and when this dust falls to the urn, in that state I came return. So maybe he's talking about, like, this might be a stretch, but, like, reincarnation almost. So, like, when he dies, like, he can come back as, you know, like, another child and relive that innocence. Yeah. Like, his soul can relive that innocence.
It could also be, like, his interpretation of humanity.
Yeah.
That, like, the afterlife is not a place where he's gonna suffer for his sins, but a place where he'll be welcomed. And, I mean, I think it says there's an allusion to where does it say, that shady city of palm trees, which is said heaven or the promised land, as shown to Moses for its identification with Jericho. So if we're alluding to heaven and that being the place you go when you turn to dust or when mm-hmm. you die, then I suppose that this poem, although it shows like regret for his loss of innocence, it shows that by not moving forward with that regret, as in maybe would be like paying the consequences by going to hell,
yeah.
he gets a second chance, or he gets
possibly
to retreat back to that.
Yeah. Innocence. Do you think that's how the retreat ties into it?
I suppose.
When it's talking in like line 10 says, but I by backward steps would move. It's like he's saying, some men afford motion love, but I by backward steps would move. And when this dust falls to the urn, in that state I came return. Do you think that's like when he says I came return, like he is returned, like the whole reincarnation thing?
Yeah. Well, I almost don't know if it's reincarnation, just because there's very heavy Christian poems.
Yeah.
Christian themes to this poem. And typically Christians don't believe in reincarnation. But it could be like the narrator contemplating reincarnation as part of it.
I think possibly when he says, in that state I came return, so in the state that he came to earth, in the state that he came to where is it? So he mentioned somewhere
the
up here.
The state of innocence.
In the beginning of the poem, he mentioned coming to earth, and he says,
angel infancy.
So right.
He came as an angel, as a pure being.
Mm-hmm. Angel infancy, and he says, or taught my soul to fancy aught but a white celestial thought. So, like, white celestial, that's more angelic and pure.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that in the last line, in that state I came return, I believe he's saying, like, in the state that he came from God or heaven, or possibly, like, you know, a more white celestial place, after his staggering drunkenness older self, he'll return back to that state of purity and white celestial thought.
Do you think it's maybe him trying to, like, make up for his
backtrack
sins almost? Yeah.
He's backtracking after a life of sin.
Yeah. To try and, like feel that same almost innocence that he felt when he was young.
I just don't know, because the last six lines, but ah, my soul with too much stay is drunk and staggers in the way. Mm-hmm. Some men are forward motion love, but I'm by backward steps would move. And when this dust falls to the urn, in the state I can return.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what
that's the part where I'm trying to figure out how that ties into the rest of the poem.
Because
it's contrast. He said, but ah, like this.
Yeah, this
like
seems
he said, yeah, on the other hand, like,
yeah,
and he also says his soul is drunk.
Do you think it means like his soul has been like
intoxicated?
Yeah, intoxicated, like it's been like kind of ruined, like,
made by the world,
society, by the world, and like I don't understand. But what do you think he means by some man afford motion love?
I interpreted that as
go ahead.
Oh, that they had, like, a positive life, like a one without sin, so
his
they look forward to going forward and getting that reward in heaven. That's what I thought it was.
Yes, and then in that state, I came return, like, you get a second chance.
I think that's what he wants, a second chance. Because he wants to tread again that ancient track where I might once more reach that plane where I first left my glorious train. So it sounds like he wants to start at that point where he started to deviate from that innocence and try again or do it perfectly.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I think that the contrast within this, like, this last section of the poem, I think that's correlating back to up in, like, lines 15 to 17 or 18, just about, like, the impurity that growing up has on Earth and how those have kind of, those impurities have infiltrated his thinking and his thoughts. I think that's what the contrast is trying to portray.
And this is crazy, because this is from 1650, and we hear this same sentiment echoed, like, if I could do it all again throughout time. Like, it's a common sentiment, like, looking back at your life and thinking about what you've done wrong.
I also found it interesting that he says, when I had taught my tongue to wound, he didn't blame it on society. Or, like, the world around him, he kind of blamed it on himself. So
that is interesting.
I found that.
Yeah.
It's more
weird.
It's more, I feel like it's recognition.
Right, yeah.
Like, they say you have to accept you don't your sins before you can
yeah.
accept the new self that you're like putting
forth. Yeah. Like yeah. acceptance of what he's done.
Accepting what you've done in the past so you can first give yourself in the future a second chance, and become a better quote person. Unquote.
Right.
I think it means, like, before I taught my tongue to wound my conscience with a sinful sound. Isn't that, like, before he taught himself to, like, speak and, like, be able to communicate with the world, maybe?
Well, a sinful sound could be also, like...
My conscience with a sinful sound.
Being, like, pessimistic or mm-hmm. cynical. Yeah. Not just speaking in general.
I think the sinful okay. sound could also relate to, like, just the negative speech in his head or, mm-hmm. like, Yeah, like negative words.
Or to hurt
others,
because if it's your tongue, like if you're speaking it out, then it yeah. sounds like remarks that would hurt other people and not yeah. be kind. I think it's also interesting that this poem depicts the process of aging as a negative mm-hmm. thing, especially like in the lines, and in those weaker glories spy some shadows of eternity. And I think like shadows of eternity could be like a foreshadowing of time and of mm-hmm. like his life ahead of him to mm-hmm. be a negative thing. And I mean, a lot of poems, of course, youth being a good thing and innocent is common, but it is not very common for it to be, I feel, at the cost
yeah.
of growing old, and that like growing old is a sinful thing, that as you age yeah. every year, it's like you stray further from God
mm-hmm. yeah, and stray further from mm-hmm. the like beliefs. Pure being you were yeah. when you
your pure self. You're
innocent.
Mm-hmm. You're slowly losing your pureness.
Mm-hmm.
And it also says, a several sin to every sense, but felt through all this fleshly dress. And I think that's saying, like, the mortal senses that we do or feel through mm-hmm. or experience is through our body as a human on earth. And he's saying, sin to every sense, so that would be speech, smell, action, kind of like thoughts as well, when he refers back to negative thoughts.
I think sin in the fleshy dress also just brings emphasis that during your human life, like mortality, that is when you sin. So it sounds yeah. like if he wants to retreat back, the retreat, and Ian talked about the second race being possibly like before infancy, or at some point of this pure conception, then it's like your very life as a human is a sin. That no matter your life or anything, the longer you're on earth, the further you stray from like heaven or purity.
Mm-hmm. I also found the phrase fleshy dress interesting, because it kind of mm-hmm. sounds like almost gross when you first read it.
Yeah.
But then if you put it into the context, it's like, he talks about his soul a lot, so obviously he believes that his, like, soul is what makes him up, not, like, his outer layer, you know, yeah. like, what people see.
His, like...
His dress, like, a, yeah. like his an outfit.
It's like a gown.
I think yeah. it also kind of highlights that a lot of the sin and pain that he went through, like, it directly affected him more than anybody else.
His
sin, the torment was mostly in him. Like, I almost want to say mostly mentally.
Mm-hmm.
The sin.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, placed upon him, because, like, fleshly dress, it's, like, I imagine just, like, a gown draping over someone, so it's, like, all this sin and kind of, like, all the issues that he had to deal with and stuff, it's being, like, placed upon him as his...
It. Yeah.
Right, when his original soul and his original spirit did come from that pure, white, celestial aspect mm-hmm. in space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see that. Yeah.
And it's interesting, like, it says, like, the second half, kind of, to that phrase... is but felt through all this fleshy dress, bright shoots of everlastingness. So mm-hmm. bright shoots of everlastingness sounds like, I don't know, like Holy Spirit
mm-hmm.
or something heavenly
something
coming
like, yeah.
down.
That's positive. What I think of like the soul. Like I know it's like Christian and like they don't really believe in reincarnation, but that's the only thing that like keeps replaying in my head, like everlastingness of like the soul
yeah.
going from body to body in this, you know, like that outer fleshy dress.
Or just like
isn't really truly who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so those bright shoots of everlastingness could all, yeah, just be the concept of soul being oppressed by the fleshly dress. I think I was talking a little bit about before the rhyming of the word sound, and when we read it again, I noticed that lines 29 and 30, some men a forward motion love, but I, by backward steps, would move. Love and move, obviously spelled, like, the same way.
Yeah.
But now it's really different. And so I feel like that was just interesting. Yeah. I'm sure it was intentional.
What's that word? The
wound?
No, word? When it sound, it's kind of like a, not repetition, but it has like the same similar word.
Alliteration?
Assonance.
Oh, that can be so wrong.
I have no
Either
idea.
Either way, yeah. I mean, obviously you're not going to pronounce love, louve, or move.
Louve.
Mouth, to try and make them rhyme.
Mouth.
But when you do notice it visually, it did kind of get me for a second.
Yeah, and for sure.
I just think that's an interesting... And kind of, I mean, it trips you up. It tripped me up reading a little bit to see move right after love. And
love. Mm-hmm.
Have it like that. So if there was a purpose to it, I suppose it would be sort of discomfort in
probably
reading it.
And both lines kind of are talking about motion and moving, mm-hmm. except for they like kind of contradict each other.
Yeah.
Because he's like, they're going forward, I'm going backwards.
Yeah, and the final two lines, I mean, it's earn and return. Those more clearly rhyme, so I suppose it leads to, like, a more concrete conclusion that's a little more satisfying in that way.
Also, just to add before we end here in a second, in lines 8, it says, a mile or two from my first love, and looking back at that short space, could see a glimpse of his bright face.
Yeah, that rhymes.
So I think... Well, it rhymes. Not only that, but that's also, I think, referring back to, like, the celestial white aspect of
purity. Because his is capitalized, too.
Because his is capitalized. And when in literature and in scripture, that's referring back to God, which is, this is a very biblical and religiously toned poem. So I think that's kind of referring back to just, like, the purity. Like, he saw purity in love.
Yeah. Okay. Before we finish, most every line, like, each couplet does end with a good rhyme, except for love and move. Those mess it up.
Oh, man.
So...
Before we finish, just one last comment. In the last two lines, Urn is a tomb, and he refers to his body as dust, which kind of shows you a sentiment about the human life in general and how he's not even focused on it at all. Mm-hmm. He's trying to get to something else.
No value in the human life,
And all that's our podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another EH podcast. It's me, Young.
Alex Allman.
Ian Roy. Love you, Chiz Daddy.
Sophia Papp.
And Anya Peters.
Bye-bye.
Bye.